Today I begin a new series. The series is entitled The Shaking of Laodicea. And today the first message is, why the shaking? And I want to start out by inviting you, before I pray, to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. And we're going to look at a topic that perhaps you didn't even know about, or maybe you might have heard about, but you don't really understand. This is so timely, so pertinent, so important. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. I'm going to be reading, starting at verse 24, to set the stage for this new series, The Shaking of Laodicea. Kate, you have your Bibles and you know children. I want you to have your Bibles and to open your Bibles also so you can follow along as I read from God's sacred Word. That letter, as Jack said, that letter that God has sent to us. Okay, you ready? Here we go. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, Hebrews 12:24, and of the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Will you bow your heads with me as we pray? Father in heaven, we're so thankful for the call that we have received from you on your Sabbath to come and to worship you. And for each person who has come, Lord, do not let us down. And do not let me stand in the way. I want to cooperate with you because this topic is incredibly pertinent and important and crucial for all of us in the fact that you are coming soon and we need to understand about the shaking. So send the Holy Spirit, Lord, for the Holy Spirit is the one that teaches and changes hearts and minds. And that goes for me also, Lord, for I render myself but your instrument now for the honor and glory of Jesus. In His name we pray and thank you. Amen. You'll see on the screen a map of Asia Minor that contains the seven churches of the book of Revelation. And if you look down in the middle, in the very middle on the bottom there, you will see Laodicea. This is a very important church, and this church had a message which is crucial to us, and we're going to look at this in the next couple of weeks as we start this new series. Now, I want you to know that in AD 60, some 35 years before John authored the book of Revelation, Laodicea was destroyed by an earthquake. And the 2nd century AD Roman historian Tacitus wrote, one of the famous cities of Asia, Laodicea, was overthrown by an earthquake and without any relief from us, recovered itself by its own resources. The city's reconstruction was undoubtedly financed by its wealthy banking firms. Thus, the Laodiceans were able to decline the monetary aid offered by the Roman Senate. Such self-sufficiency spurred John's pointed remark, "You say, I have acquired wealth and do not need anything." Yes, in 660 AD, Laodicea was shaken. Shaken to the very foundation and leveled and destroyed. And so we are going to talk about this very thing, the shaking of Laodicea, and part one, why the shaking. Now, before I ask you to turn in the Bible to our first text, let me share some pertinent information on what the shaking is. Take a look at this quote, which we find from Early Writings 270, and we are going to launch every week from this quote. Listen and look very carefully. "I asked the meaning of the shaking I had seen and was shown that it was caused by the straight testimony called forth by the counsel of the true witness to the Laodiceans. This will have its effect upon the heart of the receiver and will lead him to exalt the standard and pour forth the straight truth. Some will not bear this straight testimony. They will rise up against it, and this is what will cause the shaking among God's people." Yes, if you were to ask me, "Pastor, what are you most concerned about for yourself and your congregation, your people?" I would say that they would understand that we're not anticipating the second coming as strongly as we need to anticipate. Are we ready for the shaking? See, the shaking will determine whether you're ready for the second coming or not. Yes, there is coming something. In fact, I'm going to tell you in this series right now, I believe it's already here, a message that has already been given in which it will shake the church so violently that many will leave it because they can't bear the message, and others will stay firm in it. In the meantime, those out there who are sincerely seeking truth, guess what they will do? They will come in. Are you ready for the shaking? It's coming. Now notice this. By the way, I got this from Early Writings. First volume of the testimony. It's in there. And this, God has a reason for this. And so we've got to cover this topic. We've got to spend some time on it. I want you to be ready. I want to be ready. The question is, why the shaking? In order to answer that question, I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Genesis, the 6th chapter. See, while you're turning there, boys and girls, you'll like this story. Genesis 6. Look at the picture, boys and girls. What is that? Who is that about? Boys and girls, who's it about? Noah. Yeah, there's Noah preaching away. Preach it, Noah. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at a shaking in the Old Testament, and then we're going to look at a shaking in the New Testament, and then we're going to look at a shaking that occurred about 150 years ago, and then we're going to discover why there has to be another shaking now. But first of all, there was a shaking. Do you have Genesis, the 6th chapter? Look what it says here. I want to start reading at verse number 13. It says, "And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. and this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. And then he gives the length, verse 16. Then put a window in there. Verse 17, and behold, I do bring a flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the dirt, earth shall die. Now I want you to know, if you're having a struggle with God destroying the earth, let me cut short this thing as we look at part one, why the shaking, and get on with it. I want you to know that God had to flood the earth, or shortly thereafter, they would eliminate every one of the Christians and there'd be none left. That's why He did it. He didn't do it because He's bloodthirsty. He didn't do it because He's cruel. And I see in this another act of mercy by God. He put these poor, miserable people out of their misery. Because you see, they have no rest day or night until they silence those few voices that happened to be amongst them that they didn't like what they said. Here's the problem. When the Holy Spirit's in your heart and Jesus is your Lord and Savior, it's too hard to be quiet. You can't be quiet. And somebody comes to you with a disaster, what do you got to tell them? Jesus cares. Tell them all about Jesus. Folks, in the Old Testament, there are a number of shaking. Here's one of the most prominent. I will send a flood, Noah. What I want you to do is begin to preach because I want everybody to get on that boat. Did they? How many got on the boat? How many?
Eight.
Wait a minute. How many? Eight got on the boat. There's something wrong here. Do you think there were 10, 11, 12, 13 people? These people were very prolific. They lived a long time. There were millions. How many got on the boat? And by the way, don't tell me that they didn't hear the message. Everybody knew about Noah. You wonder why he preached 120 years? That made up for the fact there was no texting or email back then. There was a message that was preached in the Old Testament at various times. This happens. That message was designed to shake the people. And they were invited to turn to God for the only solution to the crisis. And you have a choice to make. Eight people. Enoch had repeated to his children what God had shown him in regard to the flood. And Methuselah's and his sons, who lived to hear the preaching of Noah, assisted building the ark. Now, why did I show you that, folks? You know that all Bible scholars agree that Methuselah, who is the man who lived longest on the earth, died the very year the flood came, before the flood. Who helped Methuselah help Noah build the ark? His what? His sons. Did they get on the ark? They didn't get on the ark. Why the shaking? Here's why the shaking. The shaking purifies the church and prepares it for what's coming next. God could not afford to have a number of half-hearted people get on the boat so that when they landed, they'd start over where they left off. He had to give the advantage to His people so the message could be rooted deeper and stronger, and more would have a chance to say yes. That's why there was a shaking message back in Noah's day. That's why God directed him to do it. And folks, I want to warn me that Methuselah's own sons, who worked side by side with their father, whose grandpa was Noah. And you know who the father of Methuselah was? Lamech. And do you know who the father of Lamech was? Enoch? They knew it all? Enoch was translated, he was so good. And Methuselah's sons didn't even get on the boat after Daddy died. Yes. Why is there a shaking? To purify the church and prepare it for what's coming next so it can survive the next thing it has to deal with. I invite you to take your Bibles and now go to the New Testament where there was a shaking and look at Matthew 21. Matthew, the 21st chapter. Let's look at the second shaking that I'm using as an example to show you this is a biblical concept. The shaking. Matthew 21, and we'll begin with verse 1. Notice what it says here. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethpage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied, a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. And this was done that might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughters of Zion, Behold, the King cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, a colt of the foal of an ass. Now you know this story. You know how the streets just filled with joyous people who put down their coats, their robes, and they put down the boughs of palm branches and recognized Jesus as the coming King to the temple. And they were getting prepared to receive Him as King and make Him His King. And a short while later, Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. See, now, I don't know about you, but I've got a question here. Why would Jesus allow the people to think that He was now taking possession of the kingdom and He was now going to take over? And remember, the people loved Jesus because Jesus was a people person. He wasn't like the scribes and Pharisees who were greedy and haughty and selfish and materialistic. No, Jesus went wherever someone needed, whatever they need, He would provide it. He cared for them. He had. Why would He let them be misled like that? See, I read verse 3-4. Verse 4 is right out of Zechariah. That verse was repeated out loud in the streets, which means they believed He was going to be King now. There was a shaking message, folks, preparing them for what is coming next. Just like with Noah, it was no different in Jesus' day. Why the shaking? Because Jesus had to purify the little tiny new remnant church to prepare it for what was coming next. He could not afford, after His cross and ascension, to leave His disciples with wolves in amongst the sheep. And so He had to bring them out by testing them with a message so that they could bear what would follow right after His ascension. A shaking. Jesus. You could almost say He misled them. He knew what He was doing. He did it because He needed the people to make a decision one way or another. And folks, in the upper room, after the ascension, after 3.5 years of ministry, there was only 120 people. You know what? There's more than 120 people here. This breaks my heart, folks. My first thought is, Peter, are you going to be one of the 120? Or would you have gone with the crowd? When the going got tough and Jesus was being ridiculed, would you have stood up for the message and for the man? Or would you turn tail and run, Peter? By the way, my name is Peter. I'm talking about me. A shaking message. Well, let me give you another example. The great disappointment of October 22nd, 1844. You should know about this one. This is the very roots and history of the beginning of our church, so to speak. We were part of a movement called the Millerite Movement. And in the Millerite Movement, towards the time of October 22nd, 1844, like in the year 1843 onward, they honestly and sincerely believed the Bible taught that on October 22nd, 1844, Jesus would return. And the movement was sweeping the nation, North America. Many people in the churches that existed believed in this message. At first they were tolerated, and finally they were disfellowshipped. And now they were meeting together in isolated locations because they no longer had churches like they originally had when they started. And all of them believed that Jesus was returning on this date. And guess what happened? He didn't come. Now, folks, some of the greatest Christians in the history of the world were part of that movement. Why would Jesus apparently mislead them? Why didn't He send the Holy Spirit to straighten them out? Why didn't He come to them and say, wait a minute, you guys are right on the date, you're wrong in the event. And by the way, if I don't tell you that now, many of you may leave in discouragement. But He didn't. Jesus didn't leave. You see, there was a shaking message that had to be given, and the shaking message was to purify the church and prepare it for what was coming next. If that little group of individuals who held firm that the Bible did teach something, we must be wrong on what it was. Let's study and pray our Bible till we figure it out, would have been decimated by doubts, criticism, complaining, grouches, if God didn't give a message that would shake out the false so the true could get down to business. Hallelujah! God did it again in mercy. For it turns out those who left did not leave because God deceived them. They left because it wasn't the way they wanted it to happen. I got excited there. I'm sorry. I'm okay now. So we saw one example in the Old Testament. We saw one example in the New Testament. And now we see an example in our own day and age. But the question is, why the shaking of Laodicea? Why is it necessary when we have the Bible and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and all the rest, why do we need to be shaken again with a message that's found in the Bible called the message from the true witness to the Laodicean church? Friends, do you see what the screen says? What does it say? Prepare for what? The latter rain. I mean, the most momentous occasion in the history of the universe will occur soon when the latter rain will be poured out on the group of individuals who have stayed firm for the Bible and not allowed man in his thinking to influence them and persuade them and change them and toss them and turn them. And folks, we have them by the truckload sitting in our churches. And God sends a message. He sends a message that's been in existence for ages. By the way, if you're involved in all the theological discussions in our church, and that's one neat thing about our church, I never experienced that in the church I came out of to join this church. I want you to know, have you heard, well, maybe it's women's ordination that's the shaking, you know. Or maybe it's this that's the shaking, this. And here, the inspired counsels we have given, were given long ago, clearly indicate the shaking has to do with the message to the Laodicean church. Are we going to obey the Bible, or are we going to obey the commandments of man? And I'm not just talking about the Ten Commandments. I'm talking about man's new way of worshiping, man's new way of doing entertainment, man's new way of dress and adornment, man's new way that seems to make us more relevant to the society and the culture so that we can attract more people. Then how come North America still isn't growing? Because compromise of principle and the disregard of the message found to the church of Laodicea will cause us to weaken and falter, not to be strong. And we must be shaken by this very message to be so clearly verbalized and highlighted that we can make a decision one way or another. The shaking of Laodicea. Why the shaking? So that we will not only have the church purified, not only be ready for what's coming next, but specifically, unlike Noah's day, unlike Jesus' day, and unlike William Miller's day, so that we are prepared to receive the Holy Spirit. Now, friends, you remember I said the shaking's already started. Do you know who that person is? Do you know who that person is? You are with me, aren't you? Our new General Conference President, Ted Wilson. I want you to know what has already happened since he took office less than, what, 2 weeks ago, a week ago? Right? There was a forum at the GC called Yes Creation. Okay? Why? Because this is a hot topic right now in our church. Why is it a hot topic? Because it turns out that because of one of our schools in particular who had some individuals very boldly and defiantly declaring that they believe in evolution and teach in our school, we're discovering that all our schools have these individuals hiding. And we now have a General Conference President at one of the assemblies that took place when the sessions weren't meeting, called Yes Creation, stand up, and I want to read to you what our General Conference said. He said at the lectures, Yes Creation, unfortunately there are those who dismiss Genesis 1 through 11 as allegory, as nice stories, but only symbolic. I want to tell you that God created this world in 6 literal, consecutive, contiguous 24-hour days of recent origin. Hallelujah! Why am I saying that? Because one of our leaders is articulating what our church has always believed, and has let go by the wayside because there's a whole bunch of other voices who have drowned out the truth and have come into our ranks, and we have idly sat by. And honestly, for the most part, because we felt that Christians shouldn't fight. Listen, I've gotten a couple scrapes in my life before I became a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. You want to know something? When I see some man hit another man in the face or wherever, my heart breaks. I cannot believe that we could perpetrate such violence on one another. The second thought is, it's scary. I don't want to get punched in the face. I'm not ready to lift my fist and defend myself. I'm dead serious. So am I praising God because we have a man who's flying in the face of the individuals who have been reigning in our church for a while? No, because I hate to see the division that will result. But God's truth has got to be lifted up. Why? Because our people are flowing like the seaweed and the shore as the waves come in and the waves go out. God's message was never like that. Never. There has to be a shaking, folks. And it turns out the shaking is something that we've been living with since we came into existence. And we're going to look at it more specifically in the coming days. And we're going to see things we never saw before. And it's an invitation for everyone to conform themselves to Jesus in the Bible instead of man, society, culture, which is what's happening in Christianity today everywhere, including our own church. And now we got a conference president. And look what he said. Notice how he said it. I want to see that all Seventh-day Adventist teachers, whether they're theologians or scientific teachers, believe and accept the biblical creation as the church has voted and understood it. That is our goal, and that is what we need to do in order to move forward. Now, he didn't challenge them and get in their face and get really snotty and haughty. It's got to be done in love because Jesus did everything in love. But it's got to be done, folks. The message is there. Why the shaking of Laodicea? Because we've got to be prepared for the second coming of Christ. And I'm telling you now, the shaking message has already started. I'm going to share something with you. Hesitantly, because you know we have people on the internet and they download and they listen. I have a friend who went to a wedding recently in one of our liberal areas of the United States. And at the wedding, he happened to be ushered into the presence because of his side. You know, he was there for the, you know, bride or groom, you know, so he ended up at one of those tables. I'm going to keep this as mundane as I can. And sitting at that table was a bunch of intellectual Seventh-day Adventists who said, Ted Wilson's our new president. He's a conservative man. He will split this church. And we will go backwards. And he stands up and says, we're going to follow the Bible. That's what this message is all about. Friends, the shaking has begun. You must understand this. So here's what I'm doing in closing. Here it is. From the book Great Controversy. This is the book. It addresses our day. Look what it says. Again, Satan sees the Lord's servants. I hope that's me. Burdened because of the spiritual darkness that enshrouds who? Who are you? The people. And he hears their earnest prayers for divine grace and power to break the spell of indifference and carelessness and indolence. Why we pray here on Wednesdays, folks, you're now going to start to find out. And it's still sad that so few people come to either 6 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock at noon, or 5:30 to join in these prayer times. Why? We are preparing for the shaking. And when we do that, look what it says. Then the renewed zeal, who is he? Satan. Applies his arts, to counter God's message and the work of the servants whose hearts are breaking because they see the people enshrouded in darkness instead of the light that God has given to us. And so because of that, tonight, I'm taking Revelation 19 and I'm doing this. And tonight I want every single one of you to come back here at 5 o'clock and we're going to take one page of paper, front and back, and we're going to look at the very chapter in early writings and in First Testimonies, Volume 1, Testimonies, Volume 1, the chapter called The Shaking. I'm going to read with you the whole chapter. It will take 1 hour. And I will start to fill you in now with the information you'll be receiving in the coming sermons so that it will impact your mind in a more mighty way and hopefully heighten your desire to understand that this is no longer kids' gloves. In fact, if you don't mind, the gloves are now off, folks. We're taking the gloves off and we're going bare knuckles. We're getting down to the skin. I want you to come back tonight. I don't care what your schedule is, unless it's work. And for that, I not only apologize, but we record it. You can listen to it. And I'll give every one of you the sheet of paper that has the chapter, and we'll go right down it, and you'll see exactly what it says about the shaking, and I guarantee that it will righteously and it will joyfully shake you. 5 o'clock, right here. I need you to come. Why? We're doing battle. And the shaking's already come. We better understand what this message is and how we can be ready and prepared not to be shaken out.